Good afternoon to you. I'm Jan Markowitz. You are listening to God at Work, and in honor of Black History Month, I've asked Pastor Curtis May to be my guest today, and he is the director of the Office of Reconciliation Ministries, and we're going to be talking about the things that God has been doing through the Reconciliation Ministry. I know I had read from your bio that after graduating from high school in 1963 as a valedictorian, you moved to Brooklyn, New York, and you worked at the Corrugated Printing Company as a printing machine operator. And then you also worked as a clerk later on in the U.S. Postal Service in New York City. So I'm just curious, how did God lead you from those positions into being a pastor?
Oh, yes, and thank you for having me on. In New York City, it's a pretty tough town, as you can imagine, and I was from Alabama, and I was finding my way, and God was working with my heart to soften me up toward him. And as I was already a member of a church after I left the Baptist church in Alabama and went on to New York and joined the church, I got involved in serving in the church. And I had some good mentors as pastors and associates, and they began to take me out with them on visits. And I sat down in people's living rooms with them, and we talked about Jesus. We talked about life and transformation. We helped people. We helped widows. And I saw the tremendous benefit of that ministry. And so I said, you know, I too would like to do this kind of work for the rest of my life, because I saw the benefit. It really helped people. It transformed lives. And so that's how God began to tug at my heart to do this kind of work for the rest of my life.
Great. So you went on to work in pastoral ministry for over 30 years, and then you were appointed the director of the Office of Reconciliation Ministries. Now tell me what this ministry is all about.
That's a great question. I love that question. And I'll also tell you I'll start with how this ministry began. This ministry began, I was at our headquarters in Pasadena, California at the time in the late 90s, 1996, and there were some churches connected with us in Texas, in Houston, Texas. About three churches with pastors and all, and they began to read the book, The Bell Curve. And The Bell Curve says, in effect, that blacks are genetically inferior to whites. And so some of our members began to get involved with this idea and began to have arguments about it. So they contacted our headquarters, and the headquarters sent me, along with a white pastor, down to see what the problem was. And we prayed about it, and long story short, we ended up with a full-day seminar, ending with a two-hour worship service, allowing people to have a panel discussion, to confess what their thoughts were, to tell what their experiences were in the past in race, gender, church life, etc. And that was an amazing service of a full day. People were lined up around the wall because they were able to express their true feelings and hurts that they never thought would come out began to come out. Mm-hmm. And racial hurts. We had a mixed congregation there, Hispanic, Asian, African American, European American, all together. And the other pastor was white. And so we got up and spoke in the afternoon. And I gave my story of a young boy in Alabama under Governor Wallace, what it was like. And how I came into a church in New York and still had some Jim Crow in the church. And what I went through, because that church was mixed also.
A little bit about what you went through?
Yes. I went through a teaching that was a teaching called British Israelism, that Anglo-Saxons were God's chosen people.
Oh, boy.
And that teaching kind of guided how we promoted people within the fellowship, as well as other issues that were divisive, mm-hmm. just as it was they were in the world. So those were things that we got involved with, and so we began to point these things out. This white pastor got up and gave a sermon on Ephesians 2. Christ has built one new man from the two, Jews and Gentiles. There's only one body. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our peace. He
Amen.
Is our peace. And so by the time that service was over, you know, as far as having talked about the lack of promotion and this kind of thing because of racial issues and that teaching, people were thrilled because others had gone through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they came and they shook our hands, they hugged us, they held on to us, and it was just a marvelous event. And that became a model that we have taken around the world, literally. Africa, Belfast, Southern Ireland, Europe, Philippines, that model. When people ask me to do a workshop in reconciliation, I take that model of confession, of panel discussion, of being open and true about your experiences.
And then
we have steps toward healing, mm-hmm. steps toward coming out of it. And so God, that's how God founded and birthed this ministry. And after that, my passion really kicked in. And I stepped down from pastoring churches, and I went into being director of the Ministry of Reconciliation full-time. And I've been doing that for going on 15 years now.
Well, God bless you for it. It sounds like you're doing a great work, and God is doing a great work through you in the ministry. And can you share any stories of actual people's lives? You don't have to mention their names, but actual people's lives who had found healing and where a change was made?
Yes, there was a man, just a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I was in West Virginia, and there was a man, he was a white man in a church. Not our church, but another fellowship. And about halfway through the morning of that workshop, he stood up. He said, "I just want to say something." He said, "I'm a white person here, and that's West Virginia, as you can see. I'm a deacon in my church. And I just realized I'm a racist. I had no idea that I was a racist until you have shown me what a racist is." And he said, "How can I go on like this being a racist?" And I confess this before all of you, and I want to ask your forgiveness for things I've said about your ethnic group, being African-American. And I applauded him for mm-hmm. what he did, and the audience did too. Right after that, a white lady stood up and said essentially the same thing. And when it was all over, I spoke in a white church. That was Saturday. That Sunday, I spoke in a Presbyterian church, which was all white. And the black members who were in the workshop, for the first time, integrated that white church that day because they wanted them to come and combine to hear this message. And at the end of that weekend, that man asked me, he said, "How are you going back to the airport?" which was 2 hours away. I said, I have someone to take me. He said, "No, you don't. I'm taking you."
He insisted
on taking me to the airport. And he never shut down for two solid hours about how God had changed his life through this presentation, this workshop.
That's wonderful. Praise
God. And there was another one. I just got a letter about 2 weeks ago from a man, African-American businessman, and I know him. I've talked with him and met with him. He said, "This ministry has pointed out to him his own racism against some of his employees as an African-American." And he said, "I am now free through this ministry and the work that God has done on my heart. I want to thank you and keep up the good work." It's another example.
That's got to be so rewarding. Yeah.
Many, many examples like that, people whose lives have been told. In fact, probably more than half of our team are whites.
That's great.
Their lives have been touched by the ministry, and they want to be part of it. They insist on being a part of it. They want to help to share in it. And we have Hispanic and Asian as well. And so people of all different walks of life and ethnic groups have had transformation through the ministry, and not just here, but in other parts of the world as well.
Well, I know you've even received awards for the work that you've done, so thank you for being a faithful servant to the Lord and reaching out and helping with the reconciliation. Do you see things?
Thank you.
Have we improved a great deal from years ago, or do we still have a long ways to go?
That is an interesting question that I've been asked a lot. I gave a message on last Sunday, and I went through an essay. A young lady in St. Louis wrote and asked me, she said, "I'm doing an essay for the St. Louis Library." And she asked me 6 or 7 questions about Black History Month and about have we changed, how much have we changed, and so forth. And I went through that, but just in a nutshell, my answer to her was that, yes, we've seen amazing progress. A lot of people crossed the color line and voted for President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, on the cover of our most recent newsletter, Reconcile, you'll see that hate groups have grown in this country by 50% since the year 2000.
Sad.
There are 926 official hate groups in this country. They're registered. I mean, they are official groups. You can see our website and newsletter, as well as the Southern Poverty Law Center, has tracks these people in Montgomery, Alabama. And so while we see amazing progress, at the same time we see amazing numbers of hate groups rising up. 76 have arisen since November 3rd when President Obama was elected president.
Now, who makes up these hate groups?
Most are white, but the Black Panthers is one group that's listed.
So the Black Panthers are still around?
Oh, yes. They're registered, yes.
Okay. I haven't heard anything much about them recently, so I...
They haven't been that loud, noisy lately, but they're still active, and they still have chapters.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are white. These are United Klan of America, different Klan groups and various groups that have been around for many years.
Isn't that sad?
You have good and bad at the same
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah.
And it's disheartening because you think of all the amazing progress and
yes.
all the goodwill among whites, blacks, Asian, Hispanics, all different
mm-hmm.
people are doing all kinds of things together.
Yes.
But we still have this growth in hate groups and hatred.
Well, we're going to talk more about this. Curtis May will be back with me in just a moment and continue talking. And we're going to be sharing about the things that God has done. Coming up here on God at Work on Moody Radio.